So I don't know if any of you were kind of checking the date as we've been going through worship today, thinking maybe Kim's calendar like flipped 6 months into the future when she was preparing worship today, because really everything we've done so far would be very appropriate 6 months from now on November 24th, which is the Sunday right before Thanksgiving. Because this has been very much a service of Thanksgiving. But today is March 24th, not November 24th. So why are we having a service of Thanksgiving today? You know, you may have heard of Christmas in July. No one's ever heard of Thanksgiving in March. However, there is a method to my madness, and that is that the psalm for today that we encounter as we walk together toward Easter this Lent is a psalm of thanksgiving. Not only that, not just thanksgiving in general, it is actually a harvest song of thanksgiving. And it is a prayer of praise to God in response to a bountiful harvest. And so let us listen now and join in praise to God, who is the source of all our blessings. Psalm 65. It can be found on page 527 of the Pew Bibles for those who want to read along. Praise is due to you, O God of Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You girded with might, you silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumults of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and our minds to give you praise this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all hearts here be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on my computer monitor in my office are post-it notes. There's always a number of post-it notes that kind of always run along the bottom, sometimes overflow up the sides. And I use them to remind myself of things that I need to do. I keep contact information on people that I need to be calling on it. I put ideas that I have that I don't want to lose on there. This whole walk on Lent theme began as a little purple post-it note on my monitor. And they come and go. They lose their stickiness, they fall, they get lost. But one of them, there's been one post-it, and I meant to bring it down and I forgot, that's been on my monitor almost from my first day as your pastor. And it has a quote, one of my favorite quotes, by G.K. Chesterton. It has a sage piece of advice. It says, "Take nothing for granted, Receive everything with gratitude and pass it all on with grace. Take nothing for granted, receive everything with gratitude, and pass it all on with grace. I've been thinking that some year that would become our stewardship theme in the fall. Recently, I've been thinking maybe that's our theme for our 150th anniversary year. I don't know. It's just sitting there until the right time comes. But for me, this is the heart of our call as followers of Christ, as children of God, to take nothing for granted. For all of life comes to us as a gift from God. And so we then need to receive it all with gratitude. But beyond that, we can't just hoard God's blessings, keeping them for ourselves or trying. No, we're called to then pass it all on with grace. And this chestnut of wisdom kept coming to me this week as I was preparing for today's sermon. For the psalmist seems to agree with Chesterton. The psalmist doesn't take anything for granted, but receives it all with gratitude. The opportunity to worship together as the people of God, to be received by God into God's house, the forgiveness of sin, even sin that overwhelms us, God's awesome deeds, the grandeur of the mountains, the vastness of the sea, the diversity of human beings, the bounty of the harvest. The gifts of God are so prevalent and abundant that they actually seem to the psalmist to be oozing out of every nook and cranny of creation. The way the psalm describes it is with an image of a wagon of God's that is being pulled through a field. Most likely it's harvest, a harvest hymn, so it's coming out to collect all of the produce that's being harvested. And as it goes along, the wheels cut into the earth, leaving furrows as it goes. And the New Revised Standard Version that I just read from, that's in your pews, says that these furrows then overflow with richness, which isn't an exact translation. A more literal translation would be the furrows drip with fattiness. Now, you can see why the editors of the NRSV went a different direction. You know, it's kind of hard to mentally picture furrows dripping. You know, they're dips down. How does something dip down drip? And since when does the earth contain fat? So you can kind of see why they do that. But the word overflow conjures up a different image than something that's just dripping. You know, something drips that it comes from within and just kind of drips. And so this is a picture of creation that is so rich with God's blessings, so filled with everything that is needed to produce a bountiful harvest, that anything that disturbs it causes it to bubble up from the earth and fill the world's gaps, not with something thin and insubstantial, but with a thick, rich, fat-filled nourishment that brings forth growth and a bumper crop. The picture that actually comes to mind right now is this. The super bloom has become a media frenzy, hasn't it? You know, now I know from social media that some of you have actually braved the crowds to go to Lake Elsinore. Isn't that right? I know that Elizabeth was there, and I don't know who all went with you on that journey yesterday, but the family yesterday, yeah. So, and amazing pictures on your social media as well. I know that some others of you have opted to avoid the shuttle service to see the flowers and gone to some other locations that may not be quite as spectacular but still have a wonderful display. There's the Fuentes family is sick today, but there's some great pictures of their kids at a different park. The Lopezes were wise enough to get ahead of the crowd and go to Joshua Tree before the media picked up this story. I really, really want to go do this. My husband thinks I'm absolutely crazy, though he has said, whither thou goest, I will go. But I'm looking at my schedule and thinking that I'm probably going to have to settle, and really it's not settling, for the gift I received when I was at my parents' house a couple weeks ago, and I was walking the dog along the fairway behind their house in Palm Desert, and all along the edges of the fairway, wildflowers in the desert. In the desert. Anyway, this is a gift of grace that in some ways shouldn't surprise us, because after all, you know, we know and expect our hills will produce a harvest of poppies and lupin every spring. But following the kind of winter we've just had, you know, with all of that rain, and a winter that's finally broken the back of the drought that has had us in its grips for 8 years now, the earth just is rejoicing, isn't it? In the words of the Psalms, the rain of God blesses the earth, and the earth responds with a super bloom of praise. Or to use the words that this psalm closes with, the meadows and the valleys shout and sing together for joy. Now, as a friend of my husband says, at this point, I need to put a dime in the meter and kind of take a pause from what I've been talking about to kind of go off track for a second. And what I need to acknowledge is that this whole image of rain and the blessings of rain is not an unmixed metaphor, right? We know, we're only too aware that the rain that is being produced and is showing forth in this glorious display, all of this green, all of this growth is going to dry out. And the risk of fires at the end of summer and this fall is going to be catastrophic. And if those fires come, when the rains come back again, what's going to happen? Mud and debris flows. That is the cycle that we live in here in Southern California. And that is something that might happen from the current rains, while so much of our country is suffering already from what is happening because of the rains. The flooding in Nebraska, the flooding in Iowa. I saw a map this week that shows where the flooding is likely to occur and how bad it's going to be. And basically, from the middle of the country east is all one color or another, and they're expecting it to go on into May. And then we hear news of the cyclone and the devastation in Mozambique. So we know that rain is not always a lovely gift. It can be quite devastating. But that's not the kind of rain that's being celebrated in this psalm. The blessings for which God is being given praise is the kind of rain that soaks deep into the earth, that softens the soil, that replenishes the rivers, the kind of rain that enables growth and causes a super bloom of grace. And that is the kind of rain I want us to think about today. Not physical rain, but the rain of blessings that God showers into our lives. The gifts, the opportunities, the people, the challenges, the healing that transform us and help us grow and cause our lives to bloom. On the insert of your bulletin, there's a little raindrop that peels right off. that cool? Okay. That was my little fun for the week. Leah and I had a great deal of fun with this. And I want you to take that raindrop and hold it in your hand as you think about your own life. Take a moment to recall a blessing that resulted in growth for you. And then I want you to drill down on that blessing. Don't just be content with a general, I'm blessed by my family. I'm blessed by health. But try and get a little bit more specific. When we talked about this in Bible study on Wednesday morning, the first thing that sprang to my mind was my daughter, Chaney. Of course, my daughter is a blessing in my life. Those of you who know her would know that. She's healthy. She's bright. She's fun. I not only love my daughter, I actually like my daughter. But that isn't the blessing that I was thinking about when I was thinking about her. When I thought about a blessing that had caused my life to blossom, to change, to become more. It is the fact that she came into my life through adoption. I was a single mother at the time. I was a full-time plus pastor at the time. An easy week was probably a 55-hour week. And there was more than once as time than when as I went through the process of adoption and leading up to it that I thought, this is crazy. I can't do this. You know, how could God or anyone think that it was a good idea for me to adopt a child right now? Even if I could pull it off, what cost would it come? Would it be fair to her? Would it be fair to the church? And yet I had this sense that this is what I was supposed to do. So I filled out the paperwork, got it all translated into Mandarin, accepted the referral after the Chinese government had a chance to process it, got on an airplane, flew to Shanghai, connected on down to, Hangzhou, brought my daughter home. And from day one, she stretched me and caused me to grow in both expected and unexpected ways. I had to rely on God more deeply than I had ever dared to before. And I had to learn how to accept help from other people. It may not surprise you that pastors, as a general rule, are better at and more comfortable with giving help than receiving help. But there was no way that I was going to be able to do this on my own. My parents lived in California. I was living in Colorado. I needed the people who came alongside me in order to do this. I needed those hand-me-down clothes, and even more, I needed the hard-won advice of the other young moms in my congregation. I needed Joe Rasmussen, who every time a memorial service got scheduled at my church would call and say, "What time do you want me to pick Chaney up?" And she would come and take Chaney into her home where she would hide Easter eggs, July, whenever, and have an Easter egg hunt in her home while I was leading this service. And my daughter was perfectly happy. I needed Beth and Jim Trammell, who after the third Christmas Eve service at our church at around 9 o'clock at night, would take my daughter to their house while I led the fourth worship service of the night and then finished cleaning up the sanctuary before coming to pick her up at their house around midnight. And indirectly, becoming a mom through adoption also ended up making me a wife. Because one of the reasons that Steve decided to ask me out was because he witnessed my adoption of Chaney, and it demonstrated to him that I was someone who understood myself and was willing to do what needed to be done when I sensed God calling me to something. Then I remembered a conversation that I had just the other day when I was reminded of Children's Theater Guild. My mom was part of this organization in Newport Beach that offered drama classes for children, put on an original musical adaptation of classic children's stories every year. And because she was so involved, so was I. I literally grew up in Children's Theater Guild productions. It was fun. I made great friends. As I grew up, I even got to take on a lead or two. But the enduring blessing is that through my involvement in Children's Theater Guild, I gained a public presence. Being on stage at an early age means that I have always been comfortable in front of a crowd, which, as you can imagine, comes in handy doing what I do. But then I got to thinking, is all of the rain of blessing that we receive from God always obviously a blessing at the time? You know, not all rain feels like a blessing, right? Even rain that you know that you need. We had rain on Ash Wednesday. I do ashes to go standing outside on a street corner, and it was raining. You know, that was, hello. So not all rain comes to us as a blessing in that moment. And so I wondered, what blessings were there in my life that really didn't feel like a blessing at the time? And one of the things that came to my mind was my seventh grade year. I've referenced this before in sermons, but it was a miserable time in my life. I was bullied not only by some of the other kids, but by the teachers at my school, some of my teachers. I dreaded each morning. I went through my days feeling out of place and angry and afraid. But when I got to college and I was invited to become part of the junior high ministry team at the church that I was attending, I thought to myself, you know, if I can help one kid get through junior high more easily than I got through junior high, that's probably a pretty good place for me to be. And so I said yes. And those Wednesday evenings turned into summer internships, which turned into seminary, which turned into ordination, which finally led me now to you all, most recently. So coming back to it, the question, what blessings have rained on you that have caused change and growth in your life? What has produced something in you that could be harvested to feed you and to feed others? What blessings have become a super bloom in your life? If you're like me and what I just did, as you think of one, you'll think of another and then another. But I want you to just settle in on one. You have one raindrop. And once you've brought it to mind, I want you to write it down on the drop. A word, a small phrase. You don't have a lot of room. You can't do a narrative on here. Just something that represents that moment in your life. It can be a drawing, a symbol. And once you've put it on that drop, as we sing in a moment, Now Thank We All Our God, I want you to give thanks to God for that blessing and for the growth that it produced. And then in a few moments when the offering is collected, I would invite you to put your drop in the offering, offering it back to God, so that by grace it may continue to grow and blossom, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. For by following the psalmist's lead, we remember and give praise to God for the blessings that are showered in our lives. We learn to take nothing, not even something as ordinary as rain or wildflowers, for granted. and we are given the opportunity to receive everything, every obvious blessing, every delayed blessing with gratitude, and then offer it back to God so that the Spirit can find ways to use it to pass it all on with grace to the glory of God.